Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivajika Jaya Ashto Uttara Sarashi Shimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vindiki Gwantaraj Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gora Premanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4 is what? The creation of the fourth order. Chapter 29, talks between Narada and King Prachinibahi. Text number 60. Narada uvacha. Jinai varabhate karma. Tinai va mutra tat puman. Bhunkte hi avya vadhanena. Lingena manasa svayam. Narada uvacha. Yenai varabhate karma. Tenai va mutra tat puman. Bhunkte hyavai. Sorry. Bhunkte hyavya vadhanena. Lingena manasa svayam. Narada uvacha. Yenai varabhate karma. Tenai va mutra tat puman. Bhunkte hyavya vadhanena. Lingena manasa svayam. Narada uvacha. Yenai varabhate karma. Tenai va mutra tat puman. Bhunkte hi avya vadhanena. Lingena manasa svayam. Narada uvacha. Yenai varabhate karma. Tenai vata. Bhunteya vyavadhanena lingena manasa swayam narada uvacha yena varabhate karma tena eva mutratat puman dhanena lingena manasa swayam. Ladies, come on. Okay, Narada uvacha. Narada said, jena, by which eva, certainly, arabate, begins, karma, fruitive activities, tena, by that body, eva, certainly, amutra, in the next life, tat, that, puman, the living entity, bhunkte, enjoys, he, because, avyavadhanena, without any change, lingena, by the subtle body, manasa, by the mind, svayam, personally. The great sage Narada continued, the living entity acts in a gross body in this life. This body is forced to act by the subtle body composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. After the gross body is lost, the subtle body is still there to enjoy or suffer. Thus, there is no change. Purport. The living entity has two kinds of body, the subtle body and the gross body. Actually, he enjoys through the subtle body, which is composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. The gross body is the instrumental outer covering. When the gross body is lost, or when it dies, the root of the gross body, the mind, intelligence, and ego continues and brings about another gross body. Although the gross bodies apparently change, the real root of the gross body, the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego, is always there. The subtle body's activities, be they pious or impious, create another situation for the living entity to enjoy or suffer in the next gross body. Thus, the subtle body continues, whereas the gross bodies change one after another. Since modern scientists and philosophers are too materialistic, and since their knowledge is taken away by the illusory energy, they cannot explain how the gross body is changing. The materialistic philosopher Darwin has tried to study the changes of the gross body, but because he had no knowledge of either the subtle body or the soul, he could not clearly explain how the evolutionary process is going on. One may change the gross body, but he works in the subtle body. People cannot understand the activities of the subtle body, and consequently, they are bewildered as to how the actions of one gross body affect another gross body. The activities of the subtle body are also guided by the supersoul, as explained in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Savasya chaham riddhi sannivishto matasmiti jnanam apoanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Supersoul is always guiding the individual soul, the individual soul always knows how to act according to the reactions of his past karma. In other words, the Supersoul reminds him to act in such a way. Therefore, although there was apparently a change in the gross body, there is a continuation between the lives of an individual soul. Okay. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmahe Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatavinam. Okay, which is more important, the subtle body or the gross body? What do you think? Raise your hands if you think the subtle body is more important. Raise your hands if you think the gross body is more important. Raise your hands if you don't know. It's okay. No wrong answers here. Although it appears in this verse, in this purport, that the subtle body is more important, because it's the subtle body that enjoys the experience of the gross body, Prabhupada mentions here, right? The subtle body gives rise to the gross body, right? But without the gross body, one can't enjoy through the subtle. Right? So gross is important. It is important, and it's a manifestation of our subtle form, because the subtle form contains within it the, what? Who can tell me? Raise your hands if you know what the subtle, in the purport, what did Prabhupada say the subtle body is made up of? Raise your hands if you can remember. Okay, Prabhuji, tell me, what are the three elements of the subtle body? Very good. Mind, intelligence, and false ego. So, false ego is the sense of self, but sense of self related to the body. What is it called? Ahankara, right? It's not who we really are. But the living entity, the jiva, the jivatma, in the material realm is covered. Right? And originally we are pure and transcendental, satchit ananda. But due to attraction to the material energy and to enjoy the material energy, we have fallen from our spiritual position where we understand our relationship with Krishna. Right? We always have a relationship with Krishna, but at the moment we've forgotten. And we've accepted the coverings that are born of the material energy. Prabhupada gives the example. We are pure like drops of water falling from a cloud. Right? And the quality of what the qualities of water, liquidity, wetness, even taste, right? Taste is pure water. There's nothing like pure water. I notice it in India, you know, the sun's always shining. You get thirsty very quickly. And so when you get to drink water, it's like, yeah, it's relishable. Huh? So it has those qualities. But when the water falls onto the ground and mixes with the dirt, what do you get? What do you get when water mixes with dirt? Mud, right? Mud. So, but the water's still there in its pure state. It's still there, but it's covered over, right? So even though, you know, the sweetness, the wetness, the liquidity is there, it's because of that mixing with the dirt, it's very difficult to extract or to identify or to differentiate the dirt from the water. Huh? So we've fallen from the spiritual position and we're now in the material position, and so our spiritual identity is covered by that, by the material energy. Right? So there's the spiritual strata. That's who we are. But we've been covered, first of all, by the subtle energy. Right? And it's interesting, Prabhupada says here that the subtle always remains. Right? Very interesting. But the gross body, what is it? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, right? Those gross material elements are changing. The subtle body remains. Although the subtle body can also change, the qualities of the subtle body can change. And that's the area in which we work when we're developing our Krishna consciousness, interestingly. So the subtle body made up of that, first of all, false ego, then the intelligence, the buddhi, and then the mind, mano, that subtle body is the vehicle that carries us from one gross body to another. And that's where the sense of self comes from. One needs a gross material body, but that gross material body is formed by the laws of material energy under the direction of Krishna, mentioned in another verse coming up, a purport. Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam riddesha juna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutanam yantra rudhani mayaya. That Krishna says, I'm the controller, Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam, of everyone. Krishna is the controller of everyone. And he oversees everything in the form of the super soul, the Paramatma. And under his jurisdiction, the material energy works. And the material energy rewards us in a variety of ways according to either our vikarma, negative activities, and our karma, the positive activities, and also our akarma, especially for devotees. This is important. Devotional activities. So we are rewarded by Krishna according to our past activities and also our desires, right? And those desires are very much part of that subtle form, the mind. So, depending on our desire and what we deserve, and that will be determined by our past activities, right, we'll then be rewarded with a particular type of body. All under, ultimately under Krishna's direction. So, Prabhupada makes a point here. The gross body changes, but the subtle body, it stays with us, right? And we remember, we remember the activities and the desires of our past lives by the under the jurisdiction of the super soul. And Prabhupada quotes the verse, Savasya Chaham Riddhi Sani Fishto. I'm situated within everybody's heart, Krishna speaking. And from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Right? So, Krishna is aware of and controls the movements of the living entities, and according to our past activities and the desires that we've cultivated, we are awarded with a particular gross type of body and have a propensity for whatever activity it is that we pursue. We can understand that because all of you are devotees, at least in your past lives, you must have performed some devotional service, right? You have a desire to serve Krishna. Is that right? Hands up those who have a desire to serve Krishna. Okay, good. I'm glad of that. That's good. Right, but we also may have a desire to do other things. Hands up those who have desires to do other things as well. Please raise your hands. Okay, this is a problem. Right? This is a problem. And we are reminded. You know, when we're children, babies or whatever, we know practically nothing. Right? What do we know? Right? We like to just suck our thumb or suck our mother's breast. What is it? Anamaya. This is a motivation. I eat, therefore I am. Right? Eating's important. What happens if you don't eat? You get hungry and very cranky, right? When children cry, usually the mother knows, okay, feed time, right? It gets more complicated when the child keeps crying. You've got to work out, oh, what's wrong? So anamaya, pranamaya, you know, as we grow, we start to think of ourselves in terms of what we do, right? And so often, you know, when we ask somebody, oh, what do you do? And we measure the person by their occupation, by their vocation. I'm a teacher, I'm a businessman, I'm a labourer, whatever. We judge people by what they do, or identify people with what they do. So anamaya, pranamaya, what's next? Manamaya, right? What we often judge people by how they think, you know, whether they're an intellectual or not, right? Or a bit dull. We also measure people by how they think. and also jnanamaya, you know, by what they know. And the mental the mental person is often an abstract of what they do, right? Or it's more advanced or more developed when we see the gross world manifest in a subtle way, in the form of drama, for example, or in science, in physics, you know, describing the physical world, in dance, in song, right? This is, if somebody's a famous singer or a famous actor, right, it's like, ooh, wonderful, right? Although actually mostly they're sudras. They don't know anything about topics of spiritual life. But people are measured by that, we call it intellectual capacity. But then for the devotees, there's another level of experience or activity is jnanamaya, right? Learning, knowledge. And not just gross learning, but understanding of spiritual science and understanding these principles. Three principles that are mentioned here. Spirit is not actually referred to, but it's understood that's the living entity. Then there's the subtle body, right? And then the gross body is a manifestation of the desires of the living entity carried in the subtle body, but again covering the spirit soul, right? So we remember, as we grow from, what is it, jamra, what is it, what's the first? Dahinosmin yata dehe komaram, kuma, right? Kuma means boy or child, right? Yovanam to youth. So as we grow up, we first of all develop our physical prowess, our physical propensities, and we grow into, you know, into the adult form, and that's almost pretty much fully manifest at what, 16 17, our intellectual, emotional capacities fully manifest, but mature up until, say, what, age 25? Roundabouts. You know, we see some people and we think this person's never growing up, right? But also what happens is that the desires start to, you know, it's like the example is given, it's like a flower. So it starts off as a bud, but then it, as it blossoms, it opens up. And the full form of the flower manifests, and the smell, the fragrance also fully manifests. So we're a bit like a flower that's in our childhood, we're just in the budding stage. But as we grow into youth and then into maturity, then the full personality starts to manifest. And all of the desires start to come out. Right? Like a good example is, you know, the attraction between boys and girls. When we're very young, we don't notice it. But then all of a sudden at 16 or 17 or even younger, we suddenly realise, whoa, hang on, there's a difference. Right? And out of that comes desire. Usually, you know, we call it calm, lust. But in an early stage of our childhood, the attraction between the two opposite genders, it's not there. Well, it's forgotten. And this is Krishna's arrangement, actually. You know, we're not even able to understand these things in an immature state. But as we mature or grow older, then these things are manifest. And these all come from the subtle body. This is all the development of the subtle person. And of course, from the subtle then comes the gross. So the work of a devotee, Prabhupada says, our work is actually on the subtle platform. Interestingly enough, it's on the subtle platform that we do, although we work on the gross platform, obviously, right? But we want to realize ourselves as something beyond the gross, which is always changing, right? And the subtle, which remains with us. And the purpose of our activity, our actions, is to reconnect or reawaken, remember even, our spiritual identity. Isn't that what we're doing? We're here to reawaken our spiritual identity. And specifically for the followers of Lord Chaitanya, what is that identity going to be? Hands up if you think you know what it is, so we can hear from each of you individually. This could be very interesting. Prabhuji. A servant of Krishna. Okay. What's your answer? Same. Okay. What kind of a servant? Gopi, Batu, Padakap, it's the same. What's yours? Same. Okay, but what kind of a servant? Huh? What kind of a servant? Huh? A favorable servant. Serving favorably. Okay, that's a good servant. You're a good servant. Okay, but it's more than that, isn't it? Isn't it more than that that we want to aspire to? A loving servant. Huh? Reliable, favorable, loving. Yeah. Okay, in what form? Huh? Yes, yes, that's right. We want to uncover, remember, right, what kind of a servant we are. Favourable, yes, loving, yes, but also what our relationship with Krishna is. Although, may I give you a hint, we don't directly have a relationship with Krishna. That's why we have Gopi Bhatu Padakamalayo. Dasa Das Anudas. Ah, very good. Yes, we want to become a servant of the spiritual master. Isn't it? But we can have many spiritual masters. Right? Isn't it? Yeah. But we generally only have one relationship with Krishna. Isn't it? According to our philosophy. So, what kind of a servant? We've got a clue here. Either engaged in, what is it? Dasyam, Sakyam, Vatsalya and Madhurya. Right? Hands up if you think you know which one of those you are. Hands up? I was going to say. Okay. Well, that's good. But this is what we should know. Like, this is what we're aspiring for. Isn't it? You want to make a comment, Prabhu? Madhurya Rasa, yes. That's who are we following? Who are we followers of specifically? Rupa Goswami. We have Rupa Goswami's mandir here, right? Yeah, that's a good point. We're all actually followers of the gopis. We can't take on the positions of the gopis because that's reserved for the eternal associates of Krishna. Right? You're a very special devotee if you're an eternal associate of Krishna, but that's generally reserved for the very elevated. Right? So this is why we engage in the process of bhakti, and why Prabhupada mentions, is it in this verse? Did he mention? No, it's a verse coming up. Ambarish Maharaj. Right? And why the subtle body is important. Subtle body, as mentioned here, subtle body is important. Because if the subtle body is engaged in thinking of our personal desires for material engagement, what happens? In terms of gross body, what happens? Get another one. Which means jamma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudashanam. It's painful. Right? And one's in ignorance. That's the greatest pain. When I say pain, sometimes you hear pine. That's my Australian accent. You have to pain, right? Dukkha dosha, anudarshanam. This is our this is the view of the acharyas, right? So we engage in the process of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, and all of the other activities of bhakti to replace or to purify our desires, so that the desire, instead of aham ameti, I am mine, let me enjoy the material world, the process of bhakti is to change the subtle body so that the thoughts are of dasosmi, right? I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm a servant of the devotees. Initially, yes, I'm a servant of my guru. But as the process of bhakti purifies, then, and so it's focused primarily on what's our main process? Our main process of bhakti, what is it? Do you think? Raise your hands if you think you know what our main process of bhakti is. It's hearing and chanting, but what do we do? Chanting. Yes, chanting Hare Krishna. We start off in what stage? What's the first stage of chanting? Aparad, offensive. Because we're thinking, ooh, what's in it for me? I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. But the chanting of Hare Krishna is, Krishna, please engage me in your service. So after the offensive stage, we should move to what stage? Which stage? Namabhas. Yes. Well, let's say the purifying or the cleansing stage. The chanting may be namabhas, but we should be, if we're making progress in our bhakti, we should be clearing away the material motivations and praying more and more deeply for bhakti, basically. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani jamanishvare bhavatad bhakti ohitiki tvai. Krishna, please give me your service. Right? This is what we should be progressing to the clearing stage, so that we can get to then what stage? What's next? Shuddhanam. Yeah, pure chanting. And when the pure chanting is manifest, then our spiritual identity will also, by Krishna's mercy, will also start to manifest. We'll start to have a taste for chanting. Right? And a taste for serving. The taste for material things will go down, ideally, and the inspiration and the taste for serving Krishna will go up. And then gradually our affinity or affection for a particular resident or the residents of Vrindavan will start to manifest within the heart. That might be some time away, but that's the direction that we should be going in, isn't it? This is the process of bhakti. Right? So this is why the subtle body is so important, because it's the chanting of Hare Krishna and that movement to the point of Shuddhanam that we should be progressing in, so that next lifetime, what will it be? What will it be? Huh? If we get to that point in this lifetime, yes. But it might be, well, I only got this far, but at least I'll be a devotee in my next life. Which is where we are now, when you think about it. Right? We must have perform some devotional service in our past life, otherwise we wouldn't be here now. Is that right? It might not have been very much. And certainly when we met the devotees, it was increased. So whether we deserved it, and we probably don't, right? But we got the mercy of the devotees. And in the association of the devotees, we got the matchless gift, right? The greatest treasure. What's the greatest treasure? Association of devotees. But what do the devotees give us? What do the devotees give us? Which is? Yes, and is? Well, somebody said over here. Chanting Hare Krishna. What do the devotees tell you to do? What's the first instruction, pretty much, you get from the Hare Krishnas? Chant Hare Krishna. You know what happened to me? I went to the temple. Chintarupa and I went to the temple, first Sunday feast. And the devotee said to me, "Do you know how to chant Hare Krishna?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, here's some beads. Now you've got to chant 16 rounds." And we were very simple devotees. And we took everything that any devotee told us, we took it very seriously. Right? And we were thinking, this opportunity, at that stage, we were thinking, at this opportunity doesn't happen very often. You only get this opportunity rarely in life, right? So I said, okay, no worries. We'll go and chant 16 rounds. So we went away with our beads. Next day we started chanting 16 rounds. And we came back to the Sunday feast the next week. That's the second time we've been to the temple. And the devotee saw me and he said, "Are you chanting 16 rounds?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, now you've got to go to the morning program." And it was Julan Yatra was the next Tuesday after the Sunday. So he said, "This is a very auspicious day to start coming to the morning program." So that's what we did. And got the opportunity then to chant Hare Krishna with the devotees. It was a struggle at home by ourselves. Chanting was quite a bit of a struggle. But when we were chanting with the devotees in the temple, then all of a sudden, you know, the power of the holy name suddenly multiplied, amplified. So this, the chanting of Hare Krishna is the activity that we concentrate and focus on. Now, it's not that we don't do the other things. We do. Prabhupada says bhakti is like a train that runs on two tracks. If you take away one of the tracks, what happens to the train? Falls over, doesn't progress. So bhakti follows the Bhagavat Vidhi, which is the hearing and the chanting, Bhagavatam, our philosophy, and even preaching, you know, giving books, selling. Selling books is actually part of the Bhagavat Marga. Some people think, you know, the Hare Krishnas are just into money because we only sell books. I've seen warnings on different social media channels. Watch out for the Hare Krishnas. They'll just get you to sell their books. But actually, that's giving transcendental knowledge. The materialistic people don't see, they just see the externals. They don't understand the internal motivation of a devotee. And of course, that's where most of our work is going on the subtle platform. So, the Bhagavad Vidhi is one track, and the Pancharatrika Vidhi, the deity worship, deity worship is the other track. And they actually support each other. And I've mentioned this before, I mention it often. It's interesting to note, Narada Muni is famous for what? Huh? Well, yes, but what is Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing as? Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Namine. He's known for chanting Hare Krishna, traveling all over the universe, right? He doesn't mention he's the compiler of the Pancharatrika Vidhi, but he is. Very interesting. So Narada Muni is an expert on what? Chanting Hare Krishna. He's also an expert on deity worship. And he writes the manual for it. Because bhakti, it goes together. Right? Very interesting. And of course, all of those activities support the chanting. And of course, that's the beginning. Shravanam, hearing, and kirtanam. This is the basis of bhakti, and the basis is our chanting of Hare Krishna. Now, why? To gradually purify that subtle body, that subtle existence, so that when we get to the point of shudanam, so we've got to go from aparad, inattentiveness. What's the other one? Falling asleep. Anybody have a problem with falling asleep when they're chanting japa? Just a small problem. You have to stay awake. First thing is you have to stay awake. Second thing is you have to say the mantra. Right? Sometimes when you hear devotees, it's erdi gurdi schniggity ram. You think, what is that? So attentiveness, staying awake, you know, this is the beginning of good chanting. And then working on the subtle platform, because what will happen is in the heart up comes the desires. Have you noticed? What am I going to do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? Am I going to be a success? Am I going to be a failure? So many murmurings of the mind. But when they come up, what's the instruction? The mind has the function of thinking, feeling, and willing, right? So whenever the thoughts arise, we should go back to Krishna, please let me be your servant. Right? Otherwise, desires of the material realm means another material body, right? Which generally we don't want, right? And of course, what happens when we're chanting, sometimes we start thinking of something and then we start feeling it. That'd be good. Or, no, I don't want that, right? You know, this is the mind's expert at doing this. And then if we like the idea, okay, what are the plans I'm going to make? So this thinking, feeling and willing is going on all of the time. And what's recommended, and especially why we chant Hare Krishna early in the morning, is so that instead of being overwhelmed by the conditioning of lifetimes of just being controlled by the mind, we focus on the Maha Mantra and concentrate just on the sound vibration of the Maha Mantra to become absorbed in the mood of service to Krishna. And of course, as we develop that mood of service and become absorbed in the pure, the holy name, the Shuddha Nam, then we build our attraction for Krishna, for Krishna's service, for the association of the devotees, for the philosophy, for the everything, for prasadam. Although usually prasadam we have a taste for prasadam at most times, right? Coming up to about now, right? So, subtle body, I would suggest, according to Prabhupada's purport, is most important, more important than the gross body. We're going to get one of those again and again and again, no problem. But the quality and the activities that we perform in our next gross body, or even in this one, will be determined by the qualities, by the quality of our chanting. And of course, the quality of the chanting is what purifies that subtle, the subtle body. Does that make sense? Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? And I've gone over time. I apologize.
Just thank you very much for this nice, wonderful class. My question is like, so many thoughts are coming while chanting.
Yeah.
And so many desires. So how to purify our desires?
We purify our desires by pretty much everything we do as devotees, right? And we shouldn't be surprised if we experience material desires because we've been in the material world for so long, right? And when we associate with the modes of material nature and the varieties of experience we have, they trigger those remembrances, right? But if we're getting a higher taste from our bhakti, we can be like the ocean. Prabhupada gives the example of a devotee, Krishna, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, is like the ocean, where there are various rivers flowing into the ocean, but the ocean remains undisturbed, right? So, sixth chapter, Krishna confirms that the mind will be disturbed, right? So, that's a given. But he says we can control the mind by, even though it might get distracted by desires that pop up, we pull it back to the main purpose, right? So it's a little boring because the mind's always whoop, whoop, all over the place, right? In a material realm. But as we become practiced in chanting Hare Krishna, what happens? What is it? Madhurya Leela Guna Rupa Nam Nam. So from the name, we start to meditate on the form. Then as our meditation gets deeper, especially when we're chanting, then we start to meditate on the qualities of Krishna. Then the pastimes will manifest. So as we make progress in our spiritual life and we're clearing, we should also start to find, we will find within our, and you know, and I'm not suggesting that I'm an expert at this. You know, I've read this more than experienced it. But this is the science. Then gradually the meditations will change. And so that's why I pull back whenever the material desires pop up. And as we develop our bhakti personality, right, and relish the exchanges of bhakti through all of the things that we do, even the austerities that we perform for service, right? That deepens our relationship either with the spiritual master, with the devotees, or ultimately with Krishna, and especially for us, Krishna in a form of the deity, right? So we start meditating on those things, and so when material desires enter into the heart, because we've developed stability within our bhakti practice, they're like the rivers that flow into the ocean but don't disturb the ocean. That's the example, right? And Prabhupada, Krishna also in that series of verses in the second chapter mentions how a devotee is like a tortoise, right? So that where there's thoughts and desires for or opportunities for material sense gratification, the devotee pulls his like a tortoise. Right? But he's internally engaged. He's got positive things to do. And then and so when there's opportunities to perform devotional service, then the limbs come out and the senses can be engaged. Right? So it's a bit of a practice. Not a bit. This is our yoga practice, right? And our meditation on Krishna very often, and this is why deity worship is so important, it focuses on service to our Ishta Devata, right? For the devotees here, Vinod Bihari, is it? No, Vrindavan Bihari or Madan Mohan. In fact, isn't it Madan Mohan is the first of the three deities that the Gaudiyas worship, right? And he establishes the relationship, right? So we're praying, Krishna, please engage me in your service. Please, really, in the beginning, please let me uncover or please reveal my relationship with you, right? And that starts with service to the spiritual master, or our acharyas, vande gurun, our spiritual masters, because, you know, we generally have more than one spiritual master. That devotee that I met in the temple who said, chant Hare Krishna, right? He's my guru, as were many of my friends at the time. In fact, just last week, a devotee who had a big impact on my spiritual life left his body. I've been thinking about, and that's taken me back 40 years, 42 years or whatever, to when I first met the devotees. And that's what they'd tell me. My friends would say, chant 16 rounds, go to Mangalarti. So Chintaripa and I started going, we were chanting 16 rounds and going to Mangalarti. And then I realized, hey, I'm doing what you guys told me to do. Why aren't you doing it? Yeah. So, yeah, that's why deity worship is so important to support the chanting of Hare Krishna. And as we progress over the years, then we'll become more adept at that process. Make sense? Yeah. It's not difficult. Actually, what we do is not difficult. It's just what's going on up in here. It's just like blah, 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 blah. It's like scrambled paneer. Right? It's like scrambled paneer. Scrambled curd.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very beautiful presentation. As mentioned by Prabhupada in the purport, that the subtle body is very, very important.
Subtle body.
And Prabhuji very beautifully take us to the what is important, like chanting Hare Krishna, attending morning program, and performing deity worship. By that, we can engage our subtle minds. Intelligent and ahankar, and by that our subtle body will be purified. We can realize that ultimate goal of life. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
He gave a very good summary. That means you were listening. Thank you.
I learned from you. Hare Krishna. I'm very, very happy. We are very, very happy to have you in our Govardhanika village. Prabhuji is one of the long-standing temple president in ISKCON. More than 32 years he's serving as a temple president. It's not so easy job. Actually, not only that, he is just serving as a temple president. Whole community devotees love both of them so much. Achintya Rupa Acharya and Aniruddha Prabhu. Actually, they are running a couple of restaurants. They are having a farm community. And Prabhuji focus on the education. And actually, so surprising that in every day, ISKCON temple, they have one Sunday feast program. But they have two feast programs, Saturday feast program and Sunday feast program also. And so flourishing community, you know, very enthusiastically, very energetically, they serving. And the whole community, you know, so vibrant community. I'm very, very happy to be there in 2007 to 2009, 2010 and 10 also. ISKCON Melbourne. ISKCON Melbourne. Mahaprabhu Mandir is installed by Srila Prabhupada.
Come and visit.
Come and visit. Actually, Prabhuji, you know, in the 1990s, Prabhuji joined ISKCON in 1978, just after Srila Prabhupada disappearance, after 6 months of Srila Prabhupada disappearance. And Prabhuji is a senior disciple of Burjan Prabhu. And Prabhuji is a regional secretary for Adelaide and Perth, and he's a secretary for ISKCON Australia. And I'm very, very happy to be here. Prabhuji, whatever he's speaking, after so much realization and experience, and what he's speaking, we should take it to the core of our heart and practice. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a beautiful presentation about Krishna consciousness. Let us thank Srila Prabhuji by welcoming and thanking Srila Prabhuji. And Mataji, by lovely chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Anirudh Prabhu ki jai, Achintya Rupa Mataji ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanande.
Hari Bol.